Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
My nickname is Gloom.
And inform you in the afternoon.
People who like licorice really like licorice.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We really don't need to be popular. We need to win.
I am on location once again. We got Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire studios. Maz, just we'll get right in. We have a lot to get to today. We got some Bruins stuff, a trade made today by the Bruins, so we'll get into that for sure. Some NBA thoughts over the weekend and some Patriots thoughts as well. But we got to start with JD Martinez and your thoughts on the deal. I sense you hate it.
No, I don't hate it because, again, it could be a two-year deal or a three-year deal. So if it ends up being a short deal, I'm not going to hate it. But here's my question. What is he? What's JD Martinez? What is he? You tell me what he is, because I don't think it's clear. And this is my problem with it. Like, I've heard people say, well, it'll lengthen the lineup. The Red Sox don't need a longer lineup. That's not the issue. The issue is not a longer lineup. The issue is they don't have a guy in the middle of the lineup that changes the way opposing pitchers and opposing teams pitch to them. Is JD Martinez that guy? I don't know. We'll find out.
You don't think he is?
I don't know. I mean, if he hits 45 bombs, sure, yes. I mean, if you base it off of last year, then he is that guy. If you base it off of 2 years ago, he isn't. So this is what I'm saying. Is he a number three hitter or is he a number six hitter? Which one is he? You tell me.
He better be a number four or five hitter. I mean, for that kind of money, he's not a six hitter, Maz.
Okay, so but this is what I'm saying. Again, forget the money, right? Forget the money. I'm asking you, what is he as a player?
Okay,
what is the guy as a player?
I think, and this is too strong of a word, so this is, I don't mean this, but a little bit of a fraud. I mean, again, is he a legit, bona fide, year-in, year-out power hitter? I don't think he is. He's released 4 years ago and then goes on this tear. The number that I hate the most, ironically enough, is the 29 home runs in 62 games with the Diamondbacks. Like, that just screams to me contract run, contract drive. So I don't think he is what his numbers show. I don't.
Well, see, so this is what worries me. Again, I wanted a guy in that lineup that alters the lineup, that changes it, dramatically changes it. And I don't think this guy does that. I think he's close to what they have, basically. I think he's another guy to shove in the middle somewhere. Now, look, they may be looking at him as a number three or number four, and they might be right. That maybe he has turned some sort of corner. I'm just telling you, I have my doubts, and I've heard all these different arguments. I looked up some of the numbers today. You know, when you look up this guy's home road numbers, he had 27 home runs at home last year, which you say, okay, well, some of the, and a lot of those obviously came in Arizona, but a lot of them also came at Comerica Park in Detroit. And what that tells me is those are hitter-friendly parks that will reward a guy for hitting the ball the opposite field. Is he going to have the same chance to hit a home run in Boston as he did in Arizona or Detroit when it comes to time to drive the ball to right field? Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe his power's real there. But again, if not, then you just got the same thing that you already had.
So, yeah, to me, the Arizona thing scares me, and I didn't realize this until Jimmy Stewart, emailed us last night. They have a moist ball, dry ball situation there. Like they do at Coors Field, Maz. You know, part of the thing is the altitude, obviously, in Coors Field, but also, given where they are, the balls dry out. And when you got dry balls, they fly. So they had to get this humidor in Colorado to moisten the balls. And they're doing the same thing in Arizona. They need to moisten the balls there in Arizona because they're flying out of the park. And I hear that, again, with the 29 home runs after the trade, contract drive. Guy's 30 years old. 4 years ago, he's released. 3 years ago, he just signs a one-year, $3 million contract. Now, all of a sudden, he's a five-year, $110 million. So I hated the profile of the guy from the start. You know, the only thing that sort of prevents you from going into full-on rip-it mode is that, based on what you thought could happen, Dombrowski feels like he did okay on the contract.
Sure.
You know, when you heard 5 years, 150, or he's going for 7 years and 210, and given the way these things go, meaning Boris usually gets the better of it, you figured, well, that's what he's coming in for. You're going to sign this guy for 7 and 210 when you could have had Giancarlo Stanton for 9 and 300? You know, what's the difference? And that was really going to be my big beef. Now that he's only, you know, he's just 5 and 110 and a shot to, you know, maybe even opt out after a couple of years, the contract in the context is okay.
Yeah, you it's palatable. It's palatable.
So, you know, that just sort of stops me short from fully ripping this thing. But I don't trust the player.
I just look to me again. Are we judging the contract or are we judging the talent? Like to me, so if we're talking about a contract, great. Let's celebrate the Eduardo Nunez deal then. 1 year, two years, you know, 1 year, $6 million guaranteed. Like, excellent, fabulous, love that deal. Hell, I love the Mitch Moreland deal. Let's celebrate the contract. Are either of those guys really changing your team? Like, so again, to me, I just think they need a rock star in the middle of that lineup. Now, could this guy be it? Listen, I'll allow for the possibility that this guy could be the rock star. I'm not telling you 100% that he's not. I'm just telling you that I think there's doubt. And if you look at his history, I'm not sure you entirely know what you're going to get. And listen, to amplify the whole Coors Field thing, he played 30 games at Coors Field. Okay? I'm sorry, Chase Field in Arizona. Chase. Okay? Right. 30 games. I mean, what's the difference at this stage? 16 home runs in 30 games with 34 RBI. He slugged almost 900, and his OPS was over 1,300. Now, again, you can say, well, great. If you think that's going to happen in Fenway Park, I think you're delusional. Because I think to me, this all comes down to one thing. Can he hit the bullpens at Fenway, and can he do it with regularity? And if he can, fine. The Red Sox are going to be good. No problems.
Why do you say bullpens?
Because
he needs opposite field power?
Yes, I think he does. Yep, I think in order to change the lineup, he's got to hit the ball out to the opposite field. I do. That's exactly what I think. Because just about anybody can pull the ball out of the ballpark. But can you hit it out to the opposite field, particularly if you're a right-handed batter? And to me, this is where the challenge comes from Martinez. If he can do it, if he can hit the bullpens, he will change that lineup because there will be no way to pitch to him at Fenway Park. If balls are getting caught out there in right field at the warning track, he's not going to change a thing.
All right, let's sample the people of Boston on this. 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open again. 617-779-0985. Sample our panel in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Murray, thumbs up or thumbs down?
Ugh, it's tough because of the contract. I want to be thumbs down because here's the thing. If he's that feared of a slugger, why was there only lukewarm interest from two teams, one of which is the one that signed him? It was Arizona and the Red Sox. And it just felt like, we'll figure out the money. We'll eventually bring him in. I look at it, and I'm with you. I feel like this guy's kind of a fluke, what he did here. You know, hitting that many home runs in a contract year, especially the second half of a contract year. I don't like the age. But with the money, I can't really dump on it that much. That's why I kind of hate it. Like, I wanted to crap on it because I didn't want the player. And I feel like with this, it almost prevents them from making a massive move next offseason with a Bryce Harper or Manny Machado.
Jay Stu, behind the glass, you got a thought?
I hate this move. I hate this move with a passion. They just bought a number 6 hitter with overinflated numbers thanks to the wet balls in Arizona or the dry balls in Arizona, whatever
moist
they're
balls.
Doing they're with those balls in Arizona. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work. On paper, fabulous move. In actual execution, not going to work.
So, like, that's sort of part of it, too. It's like, I mean, it ain't my money, and it's not a true salary cap sport, although it feels like it's, you know, trending in that direction with those luxury tax implications. But it ain't my money. They can spend the way out of it. They can buy the way out of it. It's not going to cripple the team. This isn't like the NHL or the NBA where contracts really get in the way if you really don't want them to, and they're trying to get better, so like whatever. But I'm a Stu. It ain't gonna work. You guys been on 4 teams in 4 years. Like, I don't know. He's a guy you take a flyer on, and if he pans out, he pans out. But the guy that you lock in with that kind of money, no. Ain't going to work. I must do. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I go back to the middle of the lineup. They need a number 3 and a number 4 hitter. They need both. Okay, they need both. And if you were going to get one, you had to get a lock, stock, and barrel sure thing in the middle of that lineup. I just don't know if this guy's it. So again, is the contract going to hurt him? No. They're the Red Sox. Even if it's a 5-year deal at 22 per, it's not going to hurt them. Hanley's going to come off the books next year. Like, there are other variables that they'll be able to absorb the contract. Hell, they're still paying Pablo Sandoval $19 million a year, and he's not going to get a single at bat for them. So they can absorb the money. My question is, does the player make them good enough to knock on the door with Houston and knock on the door with the Yankees? And I don't think he does. Again, I might be wrong. God knows I've been wrong before. But I just look at the guy's numbers and his history, and I say, I don't think he strikes me again as, and this is how I rationalize it in my own head. He strikes me as more of a number five, number six hitter than and number five is probably fair. Okay, I don't know if he's a number six hitter. That's probably unfair to him. But he strikes me more as a number five hitter than he does a three or four hitter, and I think that that's a problem. They've got number five hitters.
Okay, before we hit the break, Maz, before we go to the people of Boston, your thoughts on John Henry yesterday and his performance at the picnic table. You know, I don't know how many times he or the rest of the team said, we like who we are, we like who we are, we made changes, it's in the coaching staff, it's the approach, it's not the players, and then they go out and drop $110 million on a player afterwards. That just prove everything that they said earlier was a bunch of bullcrap?
I mean, for the most part, yes. Now, look, I happen to think that they knew they were getting Martinez and they just weren't going to say it. And look, the comment that everybody's talking about, you know, Henry making, we don't need to be popular, we just need to win. There's a certain amount of truth to that. I mean, they've operated too much of their existence worrying about being, you know, worrying about appealing to the pink hats than actually putting a good product on the field and winning games. At the same time, the team lacks buzz. It lacks personality. Now, if Martinez comes in and hits 40 home runs, everything will be fine. No issues. All the way around, no issues. But you almost wonder sometimes, like, when baseball's what matters, they focus on the other thing, and now they need a buzz factor, and now they're focused on the baseball. So it almost feels like they are, you know, they're just behind the curve. That's what it feels like sometimes.
Okay, we're off and running. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
JD Martinez is going into his age 30 season. He is a late bloomer, turning himself into a top flight hitter when he was 26, already released by the Houston Astros. But check out the slash line over the last 4 years. A 300 batting average, 362 on base, and a whopping 574 slugging percentage. This is a monster. In fact, just hitting, JD Martinez has been, at bat for at bat, among the five best hitters in baseball. It goes Trout, Votto, Stanton, and then tied for fourth, Martinez and Paul Goldschmidt.
We'll get your reaction to it. Here's Pete in Delaware. He leads us off today. Hi, Pete. What do you got?
Hey, guys. A couple things. I don't like the signing. Mainly because a couple things. One, he's never been the lead dog, the guy who's the most dependent on in the lineup, and he's going to have to be that now. You know, he's not going to have Goldschmidt, Cabrera. Those guys are not going to be there to protect him or give him good pitches. So that's number one. And number two, look, just a week ago, the guy was upset and didn't want to be here for $125 million, so he's getting less money. I just wonder, are we going to be having another David Price guy who really didn't want to be here but signed here? And that does worry me because we've seen how the Price thing attitude-wise has worked out. We got Mookie Betts upset. It just seems like we keep bringing guys in here that may not want to be here as far as the free agents go.
So, Maz, I mean, what do we know about that? What do we know about J.D. Martinez, and does he fit in Boston and that sort of thing?
Well, look, from what I hear, he's a high-character guy, will be good in the clubhouse. Like, there's a lot of that. Now, again, this is sort of a different animal, right? There is a level of negativity that exists here. And the caller brings up a good point, too, which is to say that he's never been the guy. He had Miguel Cabrera in Detroit. He had Paul Goldschmidt in Arizona, all legitimate points. And so now he is going to be the guy that, again, people are going to have to approach differently if the lineup is to change. So we'll see how that shakes out. And again, he might be. Who knows? He might be. When you're a team like the Red Sox and you have invested what they have invested in this team, both in terms of money and prospects that they've dealt, all resources totaled, I would like something that's a little bit more of a sure thing. I thought they could have done better this offseason. They didn't. Given where they are now, I mean, fine. Yes, if it's a two-year deal, what's the harm? But I don't know how much he's really going to change the lineup.
How about that Bob Nightingale story that you linked to me? Where David Price claims that he called J.D. Martinez and convinced him to come to Boston and sold him on coming to Boston. Do you buy any of that?
No, I don't. I don't think J.D. Martinez had anywhere else to go, frankly. I mean, I don't think there was another team out there that was willing to give a 30-year-old even a 5-year contract, if that's what it turns out to be. So this guy, you've pointed this out, this guy was released 4 years ago. Now he's got $110 million. I think he did okay.
Yeah, unless that conversation went something like this. Hey, JD, it sucks really bad here, but you can get that money. You're going to get paid out the wazoo.
Tom and Quincy joins us next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike. this whole thing with J.D. Martinez, one, I think the move sucks, to be honest. But the information that you just said about the Humidor thing
balls.
Is even worse, because this guy reeks of Dante Bichette, where you put up these numbers playing in these parks, you get out of that park, you get out of that situation, and you do absolute nothing from that point on. I think the money's awful. I think the deal is awful. I think it hinders them from going after Machado or Bryce Harper next year. I wish they just would have stayed pat, kept what they had, and deal with the free agents next season. What do you think of that?
Okay, babe. Big fat thumbs down for Tom and Quincy. I feel him, Maz. I didn't even realize Arizona was that much of a bandbox. I didn't realize it was, partly atmospheric. Again, with the humidor and the dry balls, and now they need to moisten the ball. The whole thing that you went through in Coors Field, they're doing in Arizona, which is, and I know, Maz, you treated Detroit like it was a good hitter's park. Is that a good hitter's park?
Well, they brought the fences in, and I just think a right-handed hitter can drive the ball out to right and right center there. That's all. I think it's different than Fenway. It was a horrible hitter's park when they first put it up, and then they brought in the fence in left center, and my recollection is they brought in the fence all the way around, but I'll double-check that. And I just feel like a right-handed hitter can hit the ball out to the opposite field in Detroit. Okay, I feel like it's doable there. Fenway, different animal.
Why is the opposite field thing so big to you? If he hits 40 home runs over the Green Monster, what does it matter?
Because I think that, first of all, I don't think he will. If he does, great. All the power to him. But I think because pitchers will pitch to your weakness. That's why, particularly at a place like Fenway. And so a right-handed batter, if he is going to be a lineup-altering hitter, needs to be able to drive the ball out to the opposite field like Hanley Ramirez can. And so when Hanley's on, Hanley to me is still the most dangerous hitter in the Red Sox lineup, because you can pitch him carefully and he can still hurt you. So that's why I feel the way I do about hitting the ball out to right center field. It's also why Fenway, in a lot of ways, is really more suited to left-handed batters than it is to righties, because it rewards you for going to the opposite field and it rewards you more easily for doing it that way as a left-handed hitter than it would as a righty. So I just think that that's a big thing. Now, look, he might be able to do it, Mike. I'm not telling you he can't. I just haven't seen enough of him to know how real that power is. And if he can drive the ball out into the bullpens with regularity, then they're all set. They're going to be fine.
Martin's in Manchester. Your thoughts on the signing, Martin?
Yeah, man, there's nothing to do with hitting the opposite field. You know, like you said, you already contradict yourself. You hit 40 or 45 home runs. Which is it? If he puts 40 or 45 over the Green Monster, nobody cares about the opposite field. That's like what grandfathers tell their grandkids to be a complete hitter. Nobody cares. And two, second of all, humidors and all this stuff, it's the eye test. The guy lost 30 pounds and gained 15 pounds of muscle. Mike, this is where you clear your throat. It's completely he's on the stuff. So that's all there is to it. So it has nothing to do with the bandbox. And Detroit is not a bandbox, by the way. It's not a hitter's park.
Right.
It's so
right.
I
never said it was a bandbox. I said the right. What's right center field in Detroit? 365, 370?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter.
Sure, it does. It does matter. What do you mean it doesn't matter? Of course it matters. Okay, of course the field matters.
My point is, it's not a hitter's park, and he's going to hit about 40 home. I don't even care about the trade, but it's the eye test. It's a no-brainer. Did you see him 4 or 5 years ago? His fat blubber shuffling around the bases. Now he's just thin and jacked. It's the eye test. It's a no-brainer. And
so, Martin, I'll tell you, on that point, the PED thing, I'm post-steroidal, Maz, meaning I'm not personally post-steroidal. I'm saying when I analyze these things, it's sort of like I assume everyone's on them, and I don't care, right? And I I'll joke with the, what's he doing, and it reeks of this, but frankly, A, I don't care, and B, they're all doing it, so I just sort of factor it in. The concern comes is if. Well, he was training a certain way to get his contract. Then he gets his contract, and he feels he doesn't need to train the same way. That could be PEDs. That could be working hard. That could be extra film room. That could be a million different things. And so just put PEDs in with it. Doing them, not doing them, I don't care. But whatever he was doing to hit the 45 bombs last year, you need him doing after the big contract. And how many times do we see where guys just don't follow through on the same routines, whatever they happen to be? And this is why, I've talked a lot about I like trades more than free agent signings. The track record, we know it. The track record of free agent signings is poor. It is poor, no matter what the team and what the position and what the signing. And any free agent signing should just get your attention and have you scared, especially this guy. Released 4 years ago, 29 home runs in 62 games in a place where they now have to bring in a humidor to moisten the balls because they were little golf balls there in Arizona. That's just, he's 30 years old. That should scare you. I'm sorry.
Yes, it absolutely should scare you. Now, look, again, the steroid thing, I don't care about it either. If he passes the test, he passes the test. But just to go back to the caller's point, if he keeps hitting balls over the left field wall, you think everybody's just going to keep pitching him in the same spot? You're going to pitch?
Well, no.
I mean, look at Mookie Betts. Why do they pitch Mookie Betts away? Because he can't hit the bullpens. That's why. I mean, it's not complicated. I'm not reinventing the game here. I'm just telling you to be a true lineup-altering hitter. You have to be able to hit the ball out to the opposite field. Those are the guys that change lineups. This guy might be able, I'm not telling you for sure he can't. Maybe he can. I mean, if you look at his spray chart, he hits the ball out all over the place. Good
does
sign.
Does Judge hit it out all over the place?
Yes. Yes.
He does. Yeah. Period, story over. He does.
Yes, particularly in New York. Again, you get a short right field there.
Check swing, yeah.
Yes, but right field. So again, he works there. You know, typically the Yankees like left-handed power. But if they're going to get right-handed power, they're going to get guys who can hit it 450 feet. Now they have two of them. They have three if you count Sanchez.
Okay, again, we've got this. We've got a couple of things that we want to get to in terms of Major League Baseball has some new directives in terms of pace of play. This should be good. There is a special guest speaker down in Fort Myers as well this week that Maz has some thoughts on. The Bruins have swung a trade for a New York Rangers defenseman, just not the one that you've been hearing about. We'll give you a scouting report and what that trade means for the Boston Bruins heading into the postseason. Got some other things as well. Devin McCourty speaks on the Malcolm Butler situation as well. All this to get to with your calls first, though, an update from Murray.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupable. Stupid. They're so stupid. 98.5
Sports Hub.
Celtics coach Brad Stevens spoke to the Red Sox yesterday, Maz, in Fort Myers, and you have a problem with this.
Well, I was just wondering, I saw people talking about it, like, oh, yeah, Cora had him address the team, and I thought, oh, great. Like what? Like he's Bill Belichick all of a sudden? Or like who? Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, John Wooden walked into camp? Like, oh, let's go have him address the team on winning. What's Stevens ever won? What does he have to address the team for? Like, I just found it comical that this got played up. Brad Stevens addressed the team. About what? Growing corn in Indiana? What did he tell him exactly? How to give the ball to your best player and get out of the way? Like, it just cracked me up. But Brad Stevens addressed the team. I don't know. Maybe I'm in a dinkish mood today. I don't know what it is. But I saw it and I said, you've got to be kidding me. Brad Stevens address the team? Bill Belichick brings in Bill Russell. The Red Sox bring in Brad Stevens?
No, Stevens was at the Patriots camp this summer. I don't know what he might have told them. That's the same thing. I'm kind of with you. Like, what's he really accomplished? I don't know if he actually addressed the team. But the Red Sox, he did. But the Pats, I just know he was there one of those days.
No, because Belichick looked at him and said, why would I have you talk to the team when I can tell them five times as much as you can? Like, Alex Cora's won more championships than Brad Stevens, for crying out loud. Like, seriously, I just saw that and said, ooh, Stevens dressed the team. Ooh, Stevens dressed the team. Great. What about how to make blueberry pie?
Okay.
What do they grow in Indiana? Like, I don't know. Yeah, seriously, I thought it was comical.
Matt, teamwork, overcoming adversity, I don't know, selflessness, etc. What do you mean? What's not to talk about?
But how is that unique to Stevens? Every coach or manager on the planet preaches that stuff. They all preach teamwork. I want a guy who knows how to win that has credibility. And look, I'm not saying Stevens doesn't. He does in this market. But we had Brad, he spoke to the team for 5 minutes. About what? I saw you gotta be kidding me. We're treating this guy like Phil Jackson now? You know, and that's even a bad example because that guy's lost his mind. But seriously, it's the equivalent of bringing in Belichick to talk to your team. That's how it was treated, I mean. I heard it. Okay. You gotta be kidding me.
So that's item number one. Again, file that under something that bothers only Maz, but that's fine. That's what we do here. It's the Felger and Maz show. It's the world according to Felger and Maz. Item two, pace of play. So Rob Manfred has unilaterally instituted some directives to improve pace of play, but the pitch clock is not among them, Maz. There are two, I don't know if these are minor tweaks or what, but let me just read to you what's going on, and you just give me your thoughts.
Okay.
So I think I'm reading from the Herald. The changes fall under two umbrellas. There's the new rule that will limit teams to only 6 mound visits per 9-inning games, and there's another that cuts the time between innings and pitching changes. Okay, I think, again, Master Donato wrote it. He says, the Red Sox set a new record by averaging 3 hours and 20 minutes per game last year. And I just kept that in there because every time I read that, I spit out my organic butter coffee, Maz, all over my computer screen. The average was 320 on Red Sox games.
Correct. The major leagues was 305. The Red Sox were 320, which was a record.
So
and they had Chris Sale. Jimmy pointed this out before the show. They had Chris Sale, who throws a pitch like every 10 seconds.
Oh, God.
Keep going.
The whole sport is dying a slow death, and the Red Sox were 10 times worse than anybody else, so we bear the brunt of it here in Boston because of this fracocked team. 3 hours, 20 minutes per game. Average. Meaning over half of them are going over three. You know, just, God. Anyway, the Herald writes, on paper, the mound visit rule seems simple. Each team gets 6 mound visits per game. Unless there are extra innings, in which case each team gets an extra mound visit per extra inning. Mound visits, Maz, are defined by any manager or coach leaving the dugout to talk to the pitcher, or any position player leaving his position to talk to the pitcher. So I assume that means Christian Vasquez, every other pitch, getting up and running out to the mound.
Correct.
Okay. So the old rule of 2 mound visits per inning from the dugout still means the pitcher has to come out of the game.
Right.
And
the one where you come out to make the change doesn't count as a mound visit.
It doesn't.
Right, because otherwise that would limit the number of changes you can make in a game. It's the one before it that's a mound visit. The one where you come to take the pitcher out is not a mound visit.
Okay, folks at home, be sure to write these notes down because there'll be a quiz at the end to make sure that you got all this.
It's preposterous, the exceptions, but go ahead.
So here are the exceptions. One exception allows for position players and pitchers to chat as long as neither one has to, quote-unquote, relocate. The definition of, quote-unquote, relocate will surely be debated. Debated? You need to tell me what the hell that means.
What does that mean? It means if the pitcher leaves the mound or a position player leaves his position, it constitutes a mound visit. So, again, I started reading all the exceptions to
this. No. Hold on. An exception, as long as neither one has to, quote-unquote, relocate. Does that mean if the pitcher covers first base and then stops and talks to the first baseman on first base, that means the first baseman didn't have to relocate, so it's not a mound visit? I mean, what does that mean?
If the pitcher leaves the mound, too, if the pitcher goes over to talk to the player, that's also considered a mound visit.
Okay, no, but they're saying there's an exception for position players and pitchers to chat as long as neither one has to relocate. So what does that mean? They can shout at each other from third to...
Yes, you can yell from the mound to the player's position. That does not constitute a mound visit.
So you can yell from second base, make 2 the fastball because the guy in second's picked up on our signals. Okay, now from 2 is the fastball.
Yes, you can yell that. Yes, correct.
So that's what that means?
Yes, you can yell it if you want. The obvious point is that the opponent would then hear it.
I know, I was being sarcastic on purpose. This just sounds so asinine.
It is asinine. The whole thing's asinine. Keep going.
Another exception allows for players to visit the mound if they're cleaning their spikes during rainy conditions, Maz.
Correct. Yep. Now, if it's a little muddy out there, you get to run to the mound, you can clean your spikes because there's a brush on the back of the mound. So how many guys do you think are going to fake it during a rainout to go and clean their spikes and then talk to the pitcher? How many times do you think that's going to happen?
Visits can also take place if there's any concern about a potential injury.
Correct. Ooh, and, my arm.
and if the hitting team makes a substitution on the bases or at the plate, the defensive team can freely visit without it counting against their 6.
Correct.
The Herald writes, if this sounds exhausting, imagine how difficult it'll be for umpires to enforce. Oh, there's this. Any team that is out of mound visits, Maz, may still visit the mound freely if umpires decide the catcher and or pitcher has been crossed up and they need to talk about their signs.
No, right, that's right.
What, Maz?
Right, when they get crossed up, you can then ask for a special waiver. You ask for a waiver.
So wait. You get 6 per game,
yeah.
And that doesn't include taking the guy out.
Correct.
You can still talk if you go over there to brush your spikes on the little brush thing on the back of the mound.
Yeah.
You can do it if you're getting crossed up.
Yep.
You can do it if it looks like the guy might be hurt in any way, shape, or form.
Correct, fake an injury, yep.
Oh, is this going to do anything?
Nope. No, it's the stupidest thing ever. I'll tell you, the other one I love, too, is you get six. Okay, you get six. Which in and of itself, you say, okay, fine. Eliminating the catcher visits, I kind of like that idea. Okay, but so you get six. But if we go to extra innings, you get one per inning. So wait a minute. So wait a minute. You get six for nine innings. But if we go to extras, you can go out there every inning. Like, I don't like that. You should get one every two innings or one every three innings or something like that. Too bad. If you're not ready to go, that's your problem. The number of exceptions they put on this thing is stupid.
Why are they so afraid to make the players uncomfortable? That's the point. Hurry up. Stop kowtowing to the players. Shove it down their throat. Change the rules.
Amen, Murray. I'm with you, Murray.
And these babies are still complaining. Quote, I don't like it, said catcher Christian Vasquez. He's up every other pitch, isn't he? Isn't he constantly going out there?
He's out there a lot. I went to a game last year where he must have gone out there about seven or eight times. It was unbelievable.
So, of course, you know, I don't like it, said Vasquez. We've got six visits the whole game, so we need to change how we do things. If we need to change signs, don't go to the mound right away to waste a mound visit. The game is changing so much right now, but I don't like the new rule personally. And then, you know, Cora was bitching about it, too, about what if a guy's getting crossed up and it's dangerous. And now there's, you know, they're worried about the health and safety of the play. It is 3 hours and 20 minutes on average, which, again, I just, the key phrase there is on average, which means there are slews and slews and dozens of games that are going over on a regular basis over 3 hours and 20 minutes every single night. So we can watch Christian Vasquez run out to the mound and tell the pitcher for the 18th time that one is a fastball. Maz, I don't want, we've done so many shows on this and so many segments on this. I don't want to do it again. We're not going to do this today, but it is patently absurd.
Of course it's absurd. The rules that they're putting in play here, really, you know, quote unquote rules, I don't think they're going to change a thing. I don't. Now, Murray and I touched on this briefly at the end of last week. The one thing that Manfred said that I did find interesting is that during a commercial break, they only sell 90 seconds of ad time. And that those breaks can run up to 2.5 minutes long during the regular season. So there's an hour there to trim. It sounds like they're going to try to chop off 30 seconds every commercial break.
In terms of
the actual game presentation. But go ahead.
Right. An additional rule, a new rule, will limit the time between innings to 2 minutes and 5 seconds for locally televised games and 2 minutes, 25 seconds for nationally televised games. You know, Nesson, it feels like half a dozen times a game, comes back in the middle of the first pitch because they're trying to squeeze every piece of blood out of the stone.
Correct.
From that commercial set, right? So if they're missing the first half of the first pitch, coming back a half dozen times a game, wait till this starts.
Oh, God.
Which is fine. You know what? You know what? Miss a pitch, as far as I'm concerned. Get the freaking thing over with. I don't need to see every damn pitch. Do you? Especially when every pitch brings Christian Vasquez out of his crouch and out to the mound. Good God. Okay. So, anyway, there's that.
Michael Felger. Tony Maserati. Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-he-he.
Oh. Love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Inside of his day-to-day activities, I don't think I've seen a more passionate, smarter hitter walk through his day-to-day activities. He studies. He watches as much video as I've ever seen. He understands how the pitcher is going to attack him. He has a game plan against every pitcher. And, you know, just watching the routine from the time the game started until he was finished with his at-bat never changed. So he's a very dedicated, routine-oriented hitter, and it all translates.
Paul and Billerica, though, first, what do you got on the J.D. Martinez signing? You like it?
No, not at all. Here's my thing. He waited so long to sign. To me, that screams that he doesn't want to be here. I don't want this to be another Crawford, another Panda, or even David Price, where they're just coming for the big payday. Those guys don't really do well here, and I'm afraid that he's going to be in the same boat. I hope I'm wrong, but it just doesn't look good on the surface.
Maz, what do you think? Doesn't that apply to almost any free agent?
Well, so that's the thing, is this offseason was a bit of an anomaly there because nobody signed. I mean, how many guys really signed deals? So, now look, he could have just been holding out for more money. I mean, at the end of the day, for a guy who hit 45 home runs, he didn't get a ton of cash. I mean, he can opt out after 2 years and get $50 million, and I'm not saying $50 million is anything to sneeze at, but those guys typically get close to $200 now. So, again, if he opts out after 2 years, I'm okay with that. No problem. I'll take a shot. I mean, yeah, no issue there at all. I just, look, I'm sorry. I don't believe it until I watch a guy play every day. And on paper, this guy looks like he can hit the ball out to any part of the ballpark. I want to see it. I want to see it, and then I'll believe it.
My giveaway is Bruins tickets, by the way. Free Bruins tickets coming up in a few minutes. Dalton and Dedham. Go ahead, Dalton.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
There's one thing I do like about this signing and one thing I don't like about it. I mean, the Red Sox are spending money. That's no problem here. We got plenty of it. The second thing I do not like about the signing is he's coming into a big market for the first time in his career. I really don't consider Detroit a big market. Obviously, don't consider Arizona a big market. And our track record for the past, you know, four or five signings, you know, being Crawford, Sandoval, Price has him now. I mean, he hasn't really, you know, shown it, but this is what he has to answer to. He has to be able to hit under the limelight and be able to, you know, produce against the Yankees, Cleveland, and Houston. So I just want to get you guys' thoughts on that.
Big question. Big question. You don't know what any of these guys are going to look like when they get to this environment, you know, unless they've been in New York, Philly, or one of these places. And he hasn't been. That's big unknown. And, you know, the thing about the recent track record, the last five free agents that have signed for over $75 million, I think in order, are David Price, Pablo Sandoval, Hanley Ramirez, Carl Crawford, John Lackey. Is that right?
I believe that's right.
How do you feel about that?
Not good.
Is that 0 for 5, or was Lackey a win at the end of the day?
No, I think at the end of the day, Lackey was a win. I mean, not barely, but he was. You know, he was a big part of that 2013 team, and he came out of the bullpen during the World Series, all of it. So, but it took a lot of work to get there. And so that's all. And look, I'm not discouraging the Red Sox from ever signing free agents. To me, the Red Sox have an advantage over a lot of other teams in the game in that they can absorb big contracts. So I'm fine with that part of it. I just want them to absorb the right ones. My concern with J.D. Martinez is not the contract. It's not the contract. It's the player.
Chris and Avon's up next with Felger and Maserati. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I was going to touch on the whole J.D. Martinez getting plucked off the scrap heap a couple years ago, and then all of a sudden he's hitting 40 dongs a year. But you guys kind of already touched on that. But what I want to touch on is, so now the six mound visits, right? And then anytime there's a pitching change, so say there's four pitching changes, that's 10 mound visits. I don't know why they wouldn't get like some sort of an earpiece. I mean, how many times do you have to send a coach out there to fluff up the pitcher, you know? And also the other thing, let me say, I'm pretty happy that I see you on TV with a black eye today. It looked like Roche was going to lump you up last night.
What happened, Maz? Was Roche mean to you?
No, two nights ago, yeah. Roche got a little angry at me. He said that I'm negative about everything.
No.
Which is true. That's why I didn't get mad.
No, that doesn't sound right. Yeah, the mound visits. You get six, except if you're taking the guy out, it doesn't count. Or if you're brushing off your spikes, it doesn't count. Or if you think he's hurt, it doesn't count. Or if you're not relocating, like, I still don't get that. I don't think you explained that properly, Maz. I still don't get the relocation thing. Okay, there's a whole relocation exception to the mound visit thing. It's just, it's still the only sport where you're allowed to stop it in the middle of the game and walk out there and talk to the guy. I mean, it's just, please.
No, you're allowed to yell from the mound or from your position, but if you take, but what I'm eager to find out is what constitutes relocating? Is it four steps or is it three? Is it five steps? Like, at what point is it considered a relocation?
And who's keeping track of all this? These freaking guys can't see 5 feet in front of them. Who's counting?
Just put in the pitch clock already. Just put the pitch clock in. It's really not that tough.
Bob in the car, go.
Hey, guys, how you doing? So, Matt, I know you said that J.D. Martinez doesn't spread it. I remember when I watched him in Detroit, he does. That's kind of what he wants to do. So I'll listen to you guys. I'll hang out.
No.
So, Maz, that guy, his scouting report is that he does have opposite field power.
He does. Yes, on paper. Again, I'm not. If you look at what the guy, where the guy is hit, where he hits the ball typically, and where he hits it out of the ballpark, he hits it out all over the place. I'm just telling you that Detroit to right center field, and we looked it up because my recollection was Detroit to right and right center isn't that long, and it's not. It's 365 to right center. It's 330 down the line. He can hit that out there. No problem. Arizona, as we said, has an altitude problem, basically, where they're going to institute a humidor. So the ball flies out of that place, and it always has. Schilling, in fact, was one of the first people to point this out when he was pitching there. He was like, this place is a launching pad, and he's right. So you add all of these things together with JD Martinez, and I say, fine. He hits the ball out to the opposite field on paper. What happens when the opposite field is actually anywhere from 380 to 410, 420? Does it still go out or does it not go out? I want to know. Because the real right-handed power hitter at Fenway hits it into the bullpens and over.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.